The Afternoon Farm News is being sponsored by Mike's Repair in Owatonna, specializing in tires, tractor tires, tractor tracks, on the farm tire service. Commodity broker Gordy Kulowitz with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. Gordy, all you can say is what a week.
What a week. And the thing is, you know, if you're a bull, either a technical or a fundamental bull, you had stuff to work with. You know, I mean, the weather's been a real thing for a while now, and I think it's beginning to bubble oil. You know, we getting hot. They're talking about possible record hot temps in Texas this weekend. You know, they took rain out of the forecast for the Midwest again, which has been kind of the pattern. Like I said, they keep having these big rain events, but as you get closer to the rain events, they kind of evaporate, which is what sort of happens when you get into droughts. It's the same thing when you're on the opposite side of that. You know, they call for a quarter inch of rain, you get an inch and a half. So we're on the other side of that. And so as you get to the weekend, they're taking rain out and making it more of what we've been having, these scattered showers that just sort of drift around an area. And, you know, most people get some amount of rain out of it, but not a lot. And then in between, there's not a lot of rain till the next one comes. And then after this one, it warms back up again. Like I said, the whole Midwest. And that weather guy mentioned basically almost 2 weeks ago, you know, that forecast was spot on, that hurricane was going to move around, park over Illinois and Ohio, which it did, give them a couple days of rain, and then it moves off, the heat builds back in again. And he's called that pretty darn accurately. So called for a pretty massive ridge to develop from Texas to Canada. So if that's, you know, I think, you know, patterns out and we get that as we walk in the door on Monday night, market's going to take that kind of friendly. Now, the other pattern, and we've been breaking some patterns this week, is, you know, every three-day weekend we've had, they've just clobbered commodities on Tuesday. So we'll see if they try and follow that pattern. But my guess is if they do, and especially if the rains have been called disappointing, you're going to have an awful lot of guys going, thank you for the dip, and trying to buy that. So we'll see how that one goes. But right, I also didn't mention this week, we also got the soybean crush number, which was another record. You know, so, I mean, everywhere you look, demand seems to be pretty decent. I mean, the story continues to be there is no demand, but every time there's some kind of demand number, it's pretty darn big. And on the other side of the equation, I mean, you know, worldwide weather has been really quite friendly. Just about everybody around the world is having some kind of a weather issue. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, at some point the market's going to have to deal with that as well. Right now the market seems like it's just coming to grips with the U.S. having issues, but the whole world is having that. So, you know, this could be just the start of something if these patterns continue.
Well, I'll give the bears the argument that export demand isn't very good. Well, maybe the demand is there, but the reason is the commercials are unwilling to make a commitment because they aren't sure if they can access a grain, maybe.
Yeah, but also keep in mind, I mean, with as crummy as bean exports have been lately, to get to our target now, we only have to average 3 million barrels or bushels a week, and we did 17.
Ooh.
So if we continue to do the mid-teens between now and, you know, we get the new crop, that's another 100 to 150 million bushels of beans that would disappear, and our carrot really can't afford that. So again, you know, crush was a record. What few beans we have are being gobbled up. So, you know, the math there is working. The same with wheat. You know, our wheat numbers are going downhill pretty aggressively, and, you know, our exports aren't that far behind a year ago. But if everyone else keeps coming up with these shortfalls, it's going to be a case where, you know, we're going to need every bushel of wheat we can domestically. We don't want to export this stuff. So the math is beginning to work kind of against us in that, you know, we can't have too much demand. That's the whole point of price rationing. And you look at the big discount between old crop and where new crop is, or now you look at where Chicago wheat is, and the weather it's just gone through over the last month when it was in kind of that filling stage. You know, some of these prices may be kind of a little too far away from reality.
And the charts from the technical side, what did corn rally, like 70, 80 cents a bushel this week?
It's had some fun. in fact, you know, like I said, if you're a bull, technically, beautiful charts. I mean, if you pull up a September corn, it's almost a textbook head and shoulders bottom in there. It's just, it makes you want to weep. It's so pretty. And then, you know, I've been talking about that 30-day moving average has been critical. We broke out above it, came back and tested it, closed back above it, and then rallied. So, I mean, as a technician, even if you've never looked outside your window, you would have said there's a real good story here, and you bought the daylights out of it. So on the 9th of June, we closed the September corn at 524.5, and we closed it at 94.5. So your math is pretty spot on.
And similar in soybeans.
You look at the rest of the complex, like November beans, not as cute a Head and Shoulders, but it's definitely, I think I mentioned last week, it was kind of a funky Head and Shoulders. And we broke out, and we did the same thing. We came up, we tested that moving average, closed just underneath it. The next morning, we broke out, and we closed up 30 cents on it. And we've been taking off ever since. So the day we broke that Head and Shoulders, we closed 12.04, and today we're closing at 13.40. So from the 9th until today, we've had a heck of a rally. And, you know, so we're a little overbought. We have a three-day weekend. But at the same time, you know, we have weather that says we're probably too undervalued. If the ratings come down again on Tuesday, you've got to start thinking in terms of these yields coming down. And, you know, we're vulnerable to a setback just because of how overbought we are. But at the same time, how much setback do you want before you buy the daylights out of it now? You know, so that's kind of the conundrum now for the funds. They like to sell the stuff, and people want to take some money off the table. But where do you get back in? So my guess is, you know, these weather markets can be just brutal. You know, try not to get too aggressive and chase these things because, you know, the setbacks can be just nuts. All it takes is one guy saying, well, you know, it could rain on Tuesday, and everybody runs for the door. You know, like I said, pull up a KC wheat chart. We broke, I think it was like $1.20 in four trading days. So there's definitely downside risk. But over the long haul, there's plenty of upside. So the key is to make sure you have equity. And, you know, you don't want to put all your chips in after this big rally. You get that 80-cent pullback, you get wiped out. Then the market turns around and runs, leaving you sitting on the sideline. So make sure you got plenty of cash for the dips because it's inevitable there will be one. And that's when you want to get more aggressive.
And the livestock this last week were pretty active too.
Well, you know, and I think the surprise for me was despite the fact that, you know, we had grains going to the moon, the markets didn't do much. You know, we took out that kind of critical trade range. We actually broke down yesterday. We took out the range and then managed to come back and close back into the range. Actually had a reversal. They were made into low for the move, closed back up 10. And we kind of followed through this morning. Nothing crazy, but up 65 points on the cattle. And, you know, despite grains rallying that big. And a lot of times the meats kind of go, you know, throw up their hands and panic when that happens. So with this market action, we've kind of turned the cattle more into a downward channel kind of a deal. And those things tend to be basically continuation patterns, you know, from a chart standpoint, which would imply higher trade down the road. And, you know, so the cattle really finish off the week kind of neutral. Had a big break on Wednesday, followed through, made some lows, but by the end of the week, we're back in the range. So I think both sides go home a little bit frustrated and maybe a little bit encouraged at the same time. Cattle got the reversal, but we're kind of way off our highs for the bears. So I guess we'll see how we go next week. But, you know, the one thing, the pattern that seems to correlate a lot is if grains take off on early next week, usually the meats get a little bit of jitters out of all of that. Hogs, on the other hand, they just continue to grind higher. I think some of that was, you know, they've had this cattle-hog spread on going back forever. And buying the cattle, selling hogs. And hogs, just like the grains, had a big V bottom at the end of May, just kind of went screaming straight up. They're over the same key moving averages. And now with guys lightening up on the cattle, they seem to be lightening up on the short hog side of things. And what's interesting is the June's going off the board, you know, kind of in the low 80s. We have the August hogs kind of on a free run up. They're over 90 now. So, and the July hogs are up at 92.80. So, basically the cash market says we're going screaming straight up after the June's expired. So, all kinds of craziness. You go out the December hogs, and they're at a discount yet. So, but the hogs were the big winners in the livestock this week, and right now it looks like the pattern continues where they've got some more upside to go.
How long is a typical weather rally? Is there a generalization there?
Usually, you know, they last 6 to 8 weeks, it seems. You know, you go back in time, and, you know, the problem is you got to go back a long time to find good weather rallies. Like 2014, you know, we started going up in spring already, and we noticed we were tight from last year. And so, you know, in February, let's see, pull up some of the numbers here, going to, like, November beans here. You know, so in February, we kind of started off the winter, you know, and we were rallying. Again, it was the same kind of deal. The market was tight. So we were sitting at 1094, and by spring, by June, we were at 1217, and then by September 1st, we were at 1794. So basically a $5 rally over the next, call it, 3 months. And then from there, they backed off a little bit. But basically, the bulk of the damage was June and July. where they went screaming up, and it peaked out at 1780 by then. So after that, it was only just fiddling off the highs a little bit. So basically, it's about a two-month rally that seems to get you most of the way. And then you go back farther into some of the other rallies. You know, like in 2008, it really wasn't so much a summer rally as we basically peaked out the next year, you know, with, you know, we were tight from the year before. And so we just continued to rally up. That summer before, beans were trading in the, you know, $9 range. And by the time we got to the summer, July, we were sitting up at 1663. And then as we peaked out there, we had new crop coming on board, and then we fell back down to 776 again. So there's kind of two sets of rallies. You get the one in summer where the market runs up because of the tightness, and then you get basically the peak of the market oftentimes happens next summer as you kind of start running out of crop, and then, you know, the USDA starts forecasting record-setting crops going forward.
Commodity broker Gordy Kulevitz and the Afternoon Farm News was sponsored by Mike's Repair in Owatonna, specializing in tires, tractor tires, tractor tracks on the farm tire service.